This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. This week there was devastation and loss as a bridge collapses in Minneapolis during the rush hour. Congress passes new ethics legislation, and Russia stakes its claim beneath the Arctic Ocean at the North Pole. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Scott.
And, of course, Dan, we have been reading and hearing about Wednesday's bridge collapse in Minneapolis for the rest of the week and loss of life and anxiety to so many families. It comes out now that a 1990 inspection found the bridge to be, quote, structurally deficient, which doesn't mean it was about to fall, but that it obviously needed repair. Repairs, in fact, but resurfacing were being made at the time of the collapse. Apparently, there are many thousands of bridges across the United States that have been designated as structurally deficient. What are we supposed to make of this?
Well, I'll tell you what I make of it. I spent a large part of the night thinking about the word infrastructure, the facilities, the installation that a community needs in order to function, and what has happened to infrastructure in this country. I mean, what has happened when, for example, you get down in New Orleans, Katrina coming in, and then they find out that the levees, which were supposed to be repaired, had they been repaired, things might have been somewhat better. It's as though we are still with a frontier spirit in which it doesn't matter because we can always move westward and there'll be some more of everything. And there isn't some more of everything. In Britain, you know, you say London Bridge is falling down, and they mean the London Bridge may fall down. We don't seem to accept this idea that things are falling down all around us, and we're not willing to do much about it.
Mm. Let's turn now to Congress acted on an ethics bill this week.
That's true.
And every time an ethics bill is passed, it's called the toughest. What do you see when you look at this one?
Well, it's sort of your half-empty, half-full glass. They did tighten controls over the relations between congresspeople and lobbyists. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, what they did not do is to do something about the evil of earmarking, this business of writing little things into a big appropriations bill so you can get what you want for your district or your state. Earmarking is alive and well.
When it hasn't been legislating, there's been this combat going on between Congress and the administration. Bush administration has invoked executive privilege over the matter of who can testify and what can be said about the firing of nine U.S. attorneys. And there's been an ongoing struggle over whether the administration told the truth about its surveillance program. Where do these matters stand now?
Well, these matters stand now that the administration has insisted that it needs to have an updating of a so-called FISA Act, the Federal Intelligence Surveillance Act, apparently in order to allow it to do legally what it's been doing illegally so far, and that is a whole fancy new way of spying on people. And that is done in great gobs, and they can then look through it and search for it and do what's called data mining. The mining of data and this whole new modern way of doing these things is not covered by law, and there's a question of how you write a law that will make it work without attacking civil liberties. But President Bush has been determined to get it and apparently is getting it from Congress.
There's also been a face-off over the expansion of what's called the S-CHIP, the health care program for children of the working poor. Senate and House voted to add millions more low-income children to the program. The president has threatened to veto. What happens next?
First of all, in the Senate, they have a veto-proof majority. Mm-hmm. In the House, however, on the initial vote, there was not veto-proof. And so if the president chooses to veto, he probably can, because it does not look as though you can round up the two-thirds votes necessary to override his veto.
Defense Secretary Gates returned from a trip to the Middle East and Gulf states. He seemed openly discouraged about Sunni withdrawal from the government and Prime Minister al-Maliki's inability so far to get a unified government and a coherent plan of action. What impact or import does any of this have for the September decision on troop withdrawals?
Well, speak of infrastructure. There's a big shortage of water in Baghdad, a big shortage of electricity in Baghdad. The government simply doesn't function very well. And now you find the Sunni members of the government are leaving, and the government simply hardly exists. Oddly enough, there's been some improvement, slight improvement, in the security situation. But the benchmark about a functioning government leaves a lot to be desired.
Russian submarine planted its flag, I believe a titanium flag, on the seabed 6 miles under the North Pole and claimed all oil and gas resources that might be found there. What do you make of this?
What I make of it is they want to look as though they're a big, important country, and that they control everything from Russia all the way up to the North Pole. I also think that they're planting a flag down there to match our flag on the moon.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.
Sure.